Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. Yeah. This ain't no video game, yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound, so point the arrow now. I built the pyramid and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Gravity.
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master. Take a class again, cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan. Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. I do apologize about that. Right when I was getting ready to start the show, I got disconnected. So hopefully I'm back on and everybody can hear me okay. And again, this is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. I want to thank everybody for joining me on today's show. Got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I mean, your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're continuing with part three of the series that we started a few days ago, actually. We were talking about confession, possession, profession. So we've talked about confession, we broke down possession, and now we want to end up with profession. Now, this is a very important series because as we talked about yesterday, your confession leads to your possession. And as we talked about in part one and part two, which hopefully you've been following along in the series and you understand what we are revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying by breaking this series down for you, because it leads into or it continues what we talked about on the previous series where we were talking about this illusion. Now, brothers and sisters, the reason why this is so powerful, and let me change my mics really, really quickly here. And bear with me one second. I just want to make sure that my sound is coming through okay. Because as you guys know, me and technology, we have a love and hate relationship. Let's see. There we go. So I got that hooked up, and hopefully that the sound is a little better from the other mic that I was using. So today's show, brothers and sisters, you are a professor. You profess a certain understanding. Now, I can't go over parts 1 and 2 that led us up to part 3 that talks about your occupation or your vocation. Now, in part 1 and part 2, we said something that was very, very, very powerful but very dangerous. The reason this topic is so dangerous is because the Bible tells us to confess our sins one to another. But the word confession does not mean what we interpret it to mean. And so what happens is when you make a confession, it is with your mouth for the things that's done in your body. A confession is not made with your mind for the things that is done in your spirit. Now, this is so difficult to wrap your brain around. So I wrote a book called I Am Too Human. Anyone that does not have that book, what I'm saying to you may not make sense if you've never read that book. Because in that book, we break down Romans, the entire book of Romans, but specifically Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. And we talked about this yesterday on yesterday's show. And on yesterday, we broke down what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, that with my mind I serve God, with my body I serve the devil. We talked about in Romans how the body wars against the spirit wars against the body, the two are contrary to one another. We talked about on yesterday's show that God is spirit, he's not body. God is spirit, he's not body. God is spirit, he's not body. Although the body is the temple, the template of the Ruach, the Pneuma, the set-apart one. So Ephesians 2 says that God is going to take this body and he's going to use it for his good. He's going to give you a new glorified body. But until that date happens, until the corruptibility takes on incorruptibility, your profession is of your body and not of your spirit. And so you think that your body is your spirit, and it is not. And so you're making a confession to the spirit about the body. Now, brothers and sisters, it's a very complex topic. I pray to God that you've listened to part 1 and part 2 so that way you can understand part 3. So we have something that is corruptible. And so this thing that is corruptible must put on incorruptibility. It has to put it on, but we don't have it on yet. So when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53, what you profess out of your mouth affects your spirit. What you say with your mouth affects your spirit. So when you do something in your body, it affects your spirit. Thankfully, the body is controlled by the spirit, or it should be, until the body or until you turn over to what is called a reprobate mind. The Bible talks about when you do something so long that goes against the spirit yields so that way you can be saved. God turns you over to a reprobate mind so that way your spirit can be saved. So that way what you do in your body doesn't affect your spirit because you're not a body. You use a body, but you're not a body. For example, I'm not a car. I use a car, but I'm not that car. So I change cars the way I change my suit. So my clothes is not me. I wear my clothes, but my clothes is not me. When I put on a suit, I look good in a suit, but I am not that suit. When I take off that suit, I'm still here. So when you take off your body, you still here. But you think that your body is you. What if we judge everybody by their suit or their shorts or their dress? And I thought, what if I thought you was your dress? And every time I saw you in a dress or in a suit, or what if you was wearing some holy beat up clothes that were smelly? I would think that you was smelly. I would associate your clothing with you, but you and your clothing, your personality, your spirituality, and what you wear is two different things. But we think we've been tricked. We've been confused with this confession. Now, brothers and sisters, this is so dangerous. Because the word confession means that I acknowledge and I make a vow to accept what my body says I am. Oh, man. When you make a confession of fault, that means you own it. That means you admit it as true. That means that you make a declaration. That means you invoke and you provoke. That means you acknowledge. That means that you declare, you believe, and you adhere to whatever you confess. So when you confess your sins one to another, that is the most dangerous thing you could ever do. Because the word con means to swindle. The word fess, you ever heard the word, hey, fess up? It means to own up. So you're owning up to something that's not true because it was done in the body. It wasn't done in the mind. It wasn't done in the spirit. Now, there are some things that are done in the mind. That's not what I'm talking about. If your mind is corrupt and it's manifesting through your body, that's a different story. If you sit down and you plan, you think about something, you conjure up, you're angry at your neighbor, so you sit down and you make up a plan to get back at your neighbor. You got all these ideas and all these thoughts that come up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about premeditated, planned out. I'm not talking about acts. I'm talking about Galatians where it says, if you walk in the spirit, you cannot fulfill. The word fulfill means to bring to fruition. It means to plant it. It means to water it. It means to cultivate it. And it means to pick its fruit and eat it. If you're doing that, I'm not talking to you. This is not the show for you. I am talking about the people who have good intentions, but yet bad things happen. And that bad thing happened to you, so now you feel guilty. And you walk around and you're beating yourself up, and you're feeling bad about something that you should not be feeling bad about because, again, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So, again, as we talked about in part two, when we read in 1 Corinthians where it talks about let this mind be in you. Why does God always appeal to the mind, not the body? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We broke down Romans 7:18 yesterday, and I pray to God that you listen to that show again because it is so powerful. Because we read, it says that, for that which I do not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. In other words, I want to do good things, but I do bad things. But before that, it says in Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And so we know when we read Romans 7:18 yesterday, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Let me say that again. I don't know if you really understand the illusion. So Romans 7:18 says it specifically. I have a 200-page book that breaks this down into vivid detail because you are a professor. You have an occupation. You have a vocation. You have a knowledge of a particular department or a particular diaconia. You have a vocation or a business. You are engaged in the occupation and the calling. You are engaged in the act of professing, declaring. Making a decree, but you're making the wrong declaration based upon the acts of the flesh and not the thoughts of the spirit.
So I don't go by what my body does. I go by what my mind thinks. So you can say, Brother Will, you, man, you a bad guy. But I look at my heart, and every night I go to bed, I cry out to the Father, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Because if you look at what somebody do, you're not a human doing. You're not even a human being. You are a spiritual being that has a vocation that you have confessed, and now you possess, and now you profess. So you're making the wrong confession that leads to the wrong possession. Therefore, you're manifesting the wrong profession. You're in the wrong vocation, brother. You're not a sinner. You're a saint. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says I'm a saint. It says I'm a royal priest. It says I'm a holy nation. Now, let me ask you the question again. When Yahushua died, what sins did he die for? You weren't even a thought form when Yahushua died. So, the scripture tells me that he died for past, present, and future. The scripture says that he took the keys. He went down once. And he took the keys to death and the grave, and he said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? So again, why do people die, and why do they put people in graves when there's no such thing? It's just an illusion. Do you know the word vocation means a particular occupation, business, or profession? So, brothers and sisters, this message is so dangerous because you're in the wrong profession. You're in the wrong calling. Do you know that the word professions means a strong impulse or inclination to follow a particular activity? So you got a strong impulse. You got a strong inclination to follow a particular activity. What activity? The activity that you confess with your mouth. Unfortunately, you're making the wrong confession. So I don't care what I do. I go by what I be in my brain. Let me say that again. Your actions follow your emotions. Your emotions follow your thoughts. A vocation is a strong impulse, a.k.a. thought. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, so let me, Father, please give me the words that I may speak clearly and articulately to your people. The word impulse, my brother, the word impulse, my sister, means a mental state. Let me say that again. I've been saying this for 20 years, man, and I'm still frustrated because the mental state that you are holding is the wrong one. Because somebody lied to you and they told you the same bullshitness they told me. They told me when I was a child, I would never amount to nothing. They told me I was going to grow up to be an alcoholic like my dad. Told me that I was worthless. They told me I was no good for nothing. They said I was too short. They said I wasn't fast enough, wasn't strong enough. Every avenue that I wanted to go into, I didn't fit. I never made the curve. I wasn't quite good enough to play professional football. Wasn't quite good enough to go and teach at the college level. Didn't have the education. Didn't have this, that, or the other. Didn't fit when I was a police officer. When I was in corrections, I couldn't kick a man when he was down. When I was a law enforcement officer, I couldn't throw a gun at the crime scene so that way to make the crime scene fit the criminal. I couldn't do unethical things. If I tried to be a criminal, I couldn't pull the trigger. I couldn't do those things. So I didn't fit no matter where. I was a man without a country. Then I went into the church and I just couldn't be what they wanted me to be. Then I found my vocation, and I found out that there was something inside of me that I was wired by my creator to do, that I can do better than or just as good as anybody else. And so now I don't have to look down at a man. I don't have to look up at a man. I can look him in the eye. I'm no better than, I'm no worse, I'm equal. No man on this planet is better than me or worse than me. We are equal. It took me 50 years to get to this place where I can finally understand that I'm equal. And the reason that it took me so long to get here because of my confession. I made the wrong confession. I acknowledged what I was doing wrong. I took ownership of it. I declared it. I decreed it. And that, again, acknowledgement established my belief. And that established, again, my entire disposition. So I was controlled. Con, swindle, troll, large, clumsy demon. So your confession, brother, when you confess, what you confess out your mouth is what you possess in your body. But I didn't know that, man. Nobody told me that. Stop confessing those things. Because what you're doing is you are declaring, and you're declaring that you are representative of the thing that you confess. Because the word confess means con, which means swindle. Fess means fame or possession. That's why that saying in the hood is, hey, man, why don't you fess up to what you did, dog? Why don't you fess up? Fess means to own. So swindled ownership. That's what the word confession means. Swindled ownership. You've been swindled into owning something that ain't you. Because Romans 7 and Romans 8, if you don't believe me, read the book. Please, please, I beg you to read Romans chapter 7. I beg you to read Romans chapter 8. Your body and you are not the same. So what your body does, God holds you responsible for it. I'm just asking a question. So let me make sure that we are all on the same page. You ever seen God's body? Why does the Bible say God is spirit? Why are everybody trying to put him in a body? If he says I'm spirit, God is love. He didn't create love. He is love. Love is a frequency. It's a wave. It's a vibration. It's not oxytocin as we've been taught. It's not a chemical. That's how we interpret it. That's how we express it. That's how we understand it. You're not a chemical. You're a spirit. You are a spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests itself through chemistry or through a body. You are a biological being. Bio means course. Ology means the word. You are the word in flesh. Incarnate. The word became flesh and dwelt among men. You are made in the image and likeness of your Father. You are the word that became flesh and dwelt among men. You're not flesh. You became flesh in order to dwell on this dimension. When you leave this dimension, you go back to being the word. A word. A version of it. Why? The offspring of a thing grows up to be like the thing. So we are possessed. Do you know the word possession means the act of possessing? It means taking possession of an occupation. It means the thing possessed. So you are possessed by what? Your thought. So if I can convince you to think the wrong thing, you're going to produce the wrong emotion, and therefore you will take the wrong action. That's the problem. So you got an inclination, or you got an impulse to do something. Where does it come from? Your thoughts. Change your thoughts, change your impulses. But the Bible tells us specifically what to think on. Why don't we do it? I don't understand. Let me read it. Why you don't do what you're supposed to do. Romans chapter 7, verse 19. Romans 7, 19. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I should not do, that I do. Why? Why is it, brothers and sisters, that you know what you should do, but you don't do it? Romans 7, 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is not more I that do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. Hold up. Time out. That sounds like some old verbal judo. That sounds like a little mumbo jumbo. So let me make sure we are all on the same page as I bring this message to, because you are a professor. You are professing. The only problem is you're professing the wrong confession. So we got to go all the way back to first base, and we got to stop confessing. Because never tell me what you are against and who you are against. I'm not interested. The only time you can talk to me is when you talk to me about what you are for. Because what you are for, you get more. What you resist, persists. So I'm not interested in what you are against, brother. I'm not interested in who did something to you. I don't care about, you know, we can talk about, everybody talking about, yeah, man, look what happened to the black man, you know, slavery and all this stuff the white man did. I don't give a rip. None of that interests me. Tell me what you are for. Tell me what you're willing to die for, brother. Tell me what you're willing to die for, sister. Because, again, what you resist persists. What you are for, you get more. So Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. Now, Romans 19 and the New Living Translation says this, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what I don't. I do not want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Can anybody relate to that statement? I know what to do, man. Are you serious? I'm 50-plus years old. So when I do something wrong, you really think I don't know what I'm doing? You think this sin just pops up in my life, and I'm like, oops. I don't know. You know how, when kids get caught doing something, and you ask them, what, Johnny, why did you throw that rock and hit the neighbor's car? I don't know, Mama. I don't know. You know when you was a kid? Every time I did something wrong, somebody asked me, why'd you do it? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. And we're adults now, and we still say, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you know. Let me read the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, Romans chapter 7, verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. Now, do you know the definition of the word sin? Let me break it down for you. In the Greek, it's hamantano. Hamantano in the Greek means, you might want to write this down. It means your profession, your occupation, your vocation. It means your lot, your share, your destiny, your dear kinia. How did you get your vocation that you're in right now as a sinner? How did you get it? I know how you got it. Because somebody told you you was a sinner. And what did you do? You confessed it. You said, yes, yes, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Oh, Father, please forgive me. I've done wrong. That's a bunch of bullshit. Now, you can continue doing that if you want to. Then you're going to continue possessing that, or it's going to possess you, the thing that you're saying. And then you're going to continue in that vocation, that occupation. Or you can do what the Bible says. And you can say what God says about you. Because Yahushua says, I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. It's called grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Maybe you don't understand that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So why in the hell are you paying for it if Christ already paid for it? Why do people make you feel guilty and bring condemnation on you when you slip and fall if God already took care of your sins? There is no sin. The Bible says the sins have been moved the far away as the east is from the west. So again, let me ask you the question. Because you've been conned. It's just an illusion, although a very persistent one. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, because somebody will take this message and they'll say, hey, Brother Will said, hey, I got a blank slate. I can do evil. No, homie, that means you got a reprobate mind. So you think evil. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible tells me to think on these things, whatever things are just, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are pure, if there's any virtue, if there's anything good, think on these things. So since the Bible tells me to think on these things, and I think on those things, but every once in a while, I do bad things. Who's doing those bad things, brother? Maybe we need to read Romans. Maybe you need to get a copy of my book one more again. Because you need to understand this. Because if you don't understand Romans chapter 7, verse 21, you will find yourself living a life of misery. Now, if it took me 50 years to figure this out, how long is it going to take you? Everything I'm saying, you're not going to believe, but you're not going to agree. I understand. Read Romans 7:21. Romans 7:21. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Let me say that again. Let me read it for you in the King James, Romans 7:21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, we call that principle polarity. We live in a world of duality, but we came from a world of singularity. So unless you return back to singularity, you will continue to produce duality. What is singularity? Atonement. What's atonement? At one with Christ. Atonement means atone. You know the word atonement has the word tone in it, T-O-N-E, atone. It's a frequency. It's a wave. It's a vibration. If you're not on the frequency, the same wave, the same vibration. If you don't do Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you got the mind of the devil. There's only two options you got, brother. There's only two frequencies on the planet. So just because you got the frequency of God, that doesn't mean that you're going to manifest the actions of God. God understands that. Why do you think God sent his only son to do what you couldn't do in your flesh that he did? Why do you think Yahushua came down and defeated death in the grave? Why do you think, again, that your flesh was against your spirit and your spirit was against your flesh, the two are contrary to one another? Why don't they work together as a team? Can somebody please understand, break this down for me, if everything, every bone in my body, I just posted the thing on my Facebook page, everything in your body, every 365 days, basically you get a brand new body. So why the beep do you age? Why is there a program in your blood cells right now? You're already pre-programmed for death. It's called a telomere. Don't believe me? Look it up. Why? Why are you programmed for death? Who programmed you for death? If Yahushua came that you may have life, who came that you may have death? Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? I know him, her, do you? So I'm not buying what he's selling anymore. You buying it? I'm not buying it no more. I'm not buying death. I'm not buying it. Now, I may be translated out of here on this dimension, but I ain't dying and I ain't getting nobody killing me. When my mission is fulfilled, when I'm done, I'm transfiguring out of here. But until then, when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, notice it's a valley, notice it's a shadow, and notice it's death. It's not a mountaintop, and there's not no light, and it is no life. Notice how the enemy operates. So when you find yourself in the valley, you ain't on the mountain. In the shadow, you're not in the light. Of death, not life. Notice the opposite. So when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. So please don't talk to me about fear. Don't talk to me about what you don't believe. Don't talk to me about who did what. Tell me who you are for. Tell me what you're willing to do. Tell me what you know. Tell me what God has done for you. Because I know where he brought me from. I know what he did for me today and what he's done for me every day. So I don't have time to dwell on the valley of the shadow and death. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have power to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and no power of the enemy shall harm me. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. And the same God that I serve that's in me is in you too. All you got to do is stop agreeing with the God of the valley of the shadow of the death and agree with the God of the mountain. Can you agree with the God on top of the mountain? Can you agree with the God of light that's found in James chapter 3? He says he's the father of lights. So why are you living in a shadow? Man, let your light shine, brother. Let your light shine. So sure, bad things happen to you. Bad things happen to me too. Everybody, you know, I had a bad childhood, so what? Get over it. I had some bad things happen to me too, but you know what? I got to put my big boy drawers on, and I got to get up, and I got to look the devil in the eye, and I got to tell him, greater is he that is in me, and what you meant for evil, God's going to take it, and he's going to use it for my good. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I'm no longer confessing this negativity. I'm no longer going to be possessed by my failures. Therefore, I will no longer oscillate or vibrate in the occupation of shadow and death. Not doing that, brother. We're doing light and life. And so now we are proclaiming the goodness and the grace and the mercy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My brothers and my sisters, please listen to this message again, part one, part two, and part three, because I'm telling you, the same con job that the enemy did on me, he's doing it on you. Yes, you're not perfect. None of us are. Yes, you've done bad things. Yes, there's things you're not proud of. Yes, in your body, you sin. But with your mind, let me read this scripture as I close. I promise you I'm closing right now. But I want to leave you with where we started, because this is the most important scripture out of all the scriptures. There's a lot of good scriptures, brothers and sisters, in the Bible. And in all of the ancient texts I've ever read, this one just blows my mind. Please turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Please, I'm begging you. Please write this down. Please, please. Romans 7, 25 in the King James says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Notice what you do with your mind, brother, and notice what you do with your flesh. The father of the flesh is, the father of the mind is, God is mind. God is spirit. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation, Romans 7:25. Please marinate, meditate, pray on this one. Romans 7:25 in the New Living Translation starts off like this. Thank God. Answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. With my mind, I serve God. With my flesh, I serve the law of sin, a.k.a. Lucifer. Please read that, brothers and sisters, and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into the true meaning of that scripture. You will find your deliverance is in that scripture. Please, I hope it doesn't take you 50 years like it took me to realize you, what your body do, and the mental disposition that your mind maintains is not the same thing. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Just call me Brother Will. May God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will to you eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circling scenes, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.